Chapter 2, The Paradox of Being Okay. Have you ever had the experience of wishing that you couldn't feel because the pain and suffering were almost too hard to bear? Have you ever had that ache all over kind of experience where you felt as if your very insides are being torn apart? Probably, if we are really honest with ourselves, every one of us at some time or other has been at that place. A terrifying loss, the death of a loved one, unjust treatment by a close friend, a tragic illness, a disappointing hurt because certain plans didn't materialize, being let down in some very desperate circumstances. We've all felt not okay. This must have been the way the psalmist felt in Psalm 25, verses 16 and 17, when he said, "Turn to me and show me thy favor, for I am lonely and oppressed. Relieve the sorrows of my heart and bring me out of my distress." This must have been the way he felt in Psalm 31, verses 11 and 12, when we hear him cry out, "I have such enemies that all men scorn me. My neighbors find me a burden. My friends shudder at me. When they see me in the street, they turn quickly away. I am forgotten, like a dead man out of mind. I have come to be like something lost." This is the way that Pete felt, and here is what he wrote from a motel room somewhere in Arkansas. "Dear Dr. Walker, I once lived in Atlanta, and much of my spiritual growth came through your words in your church. I never met you, but I attended your church and felt very close to God there. I'm in trouble now. I desperately need your prayers, but I've lost my faith. I'm struggling in sin. I'm lost. I've lost the ability to love. I'm a wreck. I'm very talented in the eyes of the world, but I'm wasting all of my talents I once thought God had given me. I don't do anything anymore. I'm lazy. I sleep when I can, and I try to forget about my life. I need your prayers, and I need to feel forgiven. I need to love and be loved. I need my faith in God and a faith in tomorrow. Please pray for me. I constantly think of myself and my troubles. I want to love people again. I'm closing now with a prayer. I am lost." And it was signed, Pete. In our own ways, we each can identify with Pete, but this is not really the way we want it. The truth is that we would really like to have the kind of lifestyle that makes us know that we are okay. We would really like to have the position in life whereby we can satisfy our needs in a socially acceptable and responsible way. We would really like to be able to act in keeping with our value systems and basic chronological ages. We would really like to behave in ways that would be appropriate to the situations which we find ourselves. We would really like to come off with social presence, social poise, and a sense of social power, regardless of the circumstances. We would really like to face up to the problems of life and meet them with mastery. In a word, we'd like to look at ourselves and say, "I'm okay. I have freedom of choice, freedom of change, freedom to find purpose, meaning, and direction for my life." Well, any way we look at it, this is a paradox, that which is contrary to conceived opinion. But in reality, this is the good news of the gospel. You can be okay. And when the Bible talks about an okay life, it talks in terms of a brand new style and formulates it in a paradox. A power contrary to received opinion. An assertion contrary to the common notion. In fact, Christ says that the paradox of being okay is that you must be born again. This was his message to Nicodemus. And we hear him say in John 3 and 3, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Like many of us, Nicodemus had a problem handling such a strange statement. So he asked the obvious question, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." This statement is found in John chapter 3, verse 4. And in turn, Jesus laid out the paradox again in verse 5 when he said, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." But then we look around at our circumstances and say to ourselves, "You got to be kidding. Be born again? Start all over brand new? You don't know what I've been through. As far as I'm concerned, God has abandoned me. I can no longer trust him to fulfill my needs. God is unable. God is unwilling. God is unaware. I must be doing something wrong, or certainly I wouldn't be in this mess I'm in. But the truth is that there is good news in spite of the circumstances. And this good news is that God is able, God is willing, God is aware. But there's an important principle here. The psalmist had to learn this too. The same psalmist who said, "I'm lonely and oppressed," the same psalmist who said, "My friends shudder at me, I'm forgotten like a dead man," the psalmist found the paradox of being okay. We hear him proclaiming a whole new principle of living in Psalm 139, verse 6, with these words: "This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me." And what about the message of the prophet? In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, we hear the prophet say, "Although the fig tree does not burgeon, the vines bear no fruit, the olive crop fails, the orchards yield no food, the fold is bereft of its flock, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord and rejoice in the God of my deliverance." Do you remember the words of Christ in John 16, 24? "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Then what about the dynamic power of living illustrated by the Apostle Paul? What a paradox of being okay. Listen to his words in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. "Called imposters, we must be true. Called nobodies, we must be in the public eye. Never far from death, yet here we are alive. Always going through it, yet never going under. We know sorrow, yet our joy is inextinguishable. We have nothing to bless ourselves with, yet we bless many others with true riches. We are penniless, and yet in reality, we have everything worth living. Sounds great, we say, but what about right here in the 21st century? Can I become okay right now?" Well, Chris did, and here's what happened to her. She writes, "Dear Pastor Paul, I have to let you know my life is just beginning at 24. I'm a brand new person. I'm overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. Depression, compulsive overeating, and suicidal thoughts have plagued me for 8 long and miserable years. I've been to psychiatrists and I've been in hospitals, but there is no hospital like the power of the Holy Spirit. My life has taken a 360-degree turn. My heart overflows with love and happiness. Time no longer hangs heavy on my shoulders. Time is precious now, for I have so much to do and so much joy to spread. I'm so blessed to be living in this glorious world. While walking this morning, I saw 5 beautiful bluebirds flying one right after the other. I praise the Lord for allowing me to see such a thrilling sight. This world is full of beauty for all those who are willing to look for it. Your loving friend, Chris." But when we talk about paradox, we have to talk about the power. So how do we get to that? It's a valid question, and there's a valid answer. Paul the Apostle found it and expressed it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. In his words, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now we have to ask ourselves, what does all this mean when it comes to being okay? Well, first, to become okay, we have to forget the past. Paul says it loud and clear, forgetting what is behind. Now, isn't that one of our primary problems today, dealing with our past? Sometimes we drag them around as if they were long-lost friends. Every activity, every attitude, every feeling, every decision, and practically every thought are influenced by the past. Paul could have become a bitter man. Look at what he suffered. He tells us about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. He says, I have been beaten times without number. I have faced death again and again. I have been beaten, the regulation 39 strikes with the Jews 5 times. I have been beaten with rods 3 times. I have been stoned once. I have been shipwrecked 3 times. I have been 24 hours in the open sea. In my travels, I have been in constant danger from rivers and floods, from bandits, from my own countrymen, and from pagans. I face danger in city streets, danger in the desert, danger on the high seas, danger among false Christians. I've known exhaustion, pain, long vigils, hunger and thirst, doing without meals, cold and lack of clothing. There was every reason for Paul to not be okay, every reason to be hung up on a terrible past. But something happened to Paul. He had a living encounter with the living God, which resulted in a new power for living. We hear him say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Paul was able to forget the past and learn that he could do everything through Christ who gave him strength. And we find this in Philippians 4:13. Paul found the paradox of being okay. Well, second, to become okay, we have to face up to the future. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, we hear the same apostle Paul say, I am straining toward what is ahead. And the Phillips rendering is, with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. Obviously, there's no way to face the future if we take our past with us. If we push the same buttons of the past, our future will be just like our past. If we persist in the same attitudes of the past, our future will be just like our past. If we play the same mental tapes of the past that tell us we are not okay, our future will still be not okay. To face up to the future, we have to have a fresh spiritual and mental attitude. Like Paul, in Philippians 4:8, we must fix our minds on things which are holy and right and pure and beautiful and good. It really means that we need the attitude of the man who was in his late 70s. He had such an enthusiastic and effervescent spirit that everyone who knew him marveled at his exuberance. One day somebody asked him, what is the secret of your joyous lifestyle? How is it that you have such a positive attitude about the future? Without hesitation, he replied, it's really very simple. The answer is in the Bible. The inquirer responded, you found it in the Bible? Where is it in the Bible? Again, without a hitch, the old man said, well, the Bible says it came to pass, but nowhere does it say that it came to stay. Well, any way we look at it, the pressures of life are temporary. Our problems are not here to stay. How did the psalmist put it? In Psalm 30, verse 5, tears may linger at nightfall, but joy comes in the morning. You see, the future is not in the headlines of the newspaper. The future is not on the 6 and 11 o'clock newscasts. The future is not in Washington, Moscow, Peking, or the UN. The future is found in the hands of a loving God who writes our destiny in his living word with the eternal promise of a day when God himself will be with them and he will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away. These words of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, give us that living hope. This is the paradox of being okay. The old order of things has passed away. But you know, there's another dimension to consider. To become okay, we have to press for the present. In Philippians 3:14, Paul said, I press on toward the goal. But what does it mean to press? actually is a very important phrase that we use in many different ways. To press is to push as you push a button. To press is to exert pressure, such as pressing or ironing clothes. To press is to make a great exertion, as the weightlifter does when he snatches and presses several hundred pounds above his head. To press is to gamble. It means to go for broke. To press is to relentlessly pursue or intensely go after. So in reality, Paul is saying, I push, I exert, I go for broke. I relentlessly pursue the present moment and make it count for the goal of Christ. The truth is that we only have the now. The past is gone. The future is ahead. What we have is this present moment in time. Maybe that's why Beethoven was such an effective composer. He stretched his lifetime to its fullest extent. He was so far ahead of his time that his biographer observed, Beethoven gave creations that were far beyond the contemporary means of expression. He composed music that the existing instruments couldn't play. As a result, Beethoven forced new techniques to be developed and caused new instruments to be formed. Beethoven pressed for the present. He became okay, and even while suffering from deafness, created the beautiful Ninth Symphony that stands as a classic for all times. You see, God didn't create instruments to play music. God created music for instruments to play. And this is what God wants to do for us. He wants us to become the kind of instruments that can play the music of the creative power of being okay. This is the paradox of being okay. You can be born again. Forget the past. Face up to the future. Press for the present.